Now, Advent is a time when we look forward to the birth of Jesus, as Tony was talking about, who is our promised Messiah and Saviour. And we primarily do this through the lens of the Old Testament, as that's where we find many passages pointing to his coming. So in that spirit, I'm going to be looking at this very famous passage, the sign of Emmanuel, which we hear every Christmas from the prophet Isaiah. But I'm going to look at it in the context in which it was first written. Hence, we got the whole chapter from Philip. So we've already heard our passage for today. It starts in Jerusalem with Judah and the king of Judah, King Ahaz, surrounded by King Rezin of Aram and the son of Remaliah, the king of Israel. And Ahaz and all the people were terrified. We're told that their very hearts were shaken as the trees of the forest are shaken by the wind. But Judah were God's chosen people, and Jerusalem was where God's holy temple was, the very place where he dwelt. So he wasn't going to let these two upstart kings do any kind of damage to that. So to encourage them, God sent his prophet Isaiah to speak with Ahaz. To Ahaz, Isaiah says, "Be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid." Isaiah describes the two kings as smoldering stubs of firewood, or in some translations, as firebrands. A firebrand was a poker that you used to move embers and coals around with in the fire. And in those days, they'd be made of wood. How long do you think a wooden fire poker would last if it itself caught on fire, if it was smoldering from within? Not very long, I'd say. God is saying through Isaiah that these kings have very little time left, that soon their power will be completely gone, and that they'll be like ashes, they'll be weak and useless. God says that their plan to overthrow Jerusalem and to put another king on the throne will not take place, it will not happen. He gives Ahaz every assurance that they will be as safe as houses as long as he trusts in the Lord. Now, up until this point, for a number of years, Judah hadn't had many good or faithful kings. And Ahaz, sadly, was no exception. We're told in 2 Chronicles that he did not do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. Ahaz was a weak man, and he turned to every other god under the sun, the gods worshipped by all the nations all around him, for help, rather than turn to the Lord for help. Just like us, he wanted to emulate other people he saw who were successful, and he wanted to rely on his own actions to be in control of his own destiny. Now, knowing what Ahaz was like, Isaiah pleads with him to ask God for a sign. He says, whether in the deepest depths or in the highest heights, ask for a sign to show you that God will protect you. Now, Ahaz's response seems pious and well-meaning on the surface when he replies that he doesn't want to put the Lord his God to the test. But this is anything but. Instead, Ahaz has already decided what he's going to do. He was going to ask the king of Assyria rather than the Lord for help. We know this because in 2 Kings, we read that he sent a letter to the king of Assyria saying, "I am your servant and vassal. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Aram and the king of Israel who are attacking me." And he sent masses of silver and gold from God's own temple to Assyria as payment for this help. Ahaz did what we do all the time. He took matters into his own hands. We as people are naturally sinful. We're naturally inclined to want to do things ourselves, our own way, rather than trust in and rely on God. We fail to believe in God's word at times, to believe in the promises he's made to us or the plans that he has for us. Ahaz's actions, it's very easy to read about them through the gulf of thousands of years of history and think to ourselves, well, I'd never do that. But actually, I think quite a few of us would. We're physical beings living in a physical world, and so our natural inclination is to rely on physical things. We trust in our money or our job or our home for security, rather than trust in the security that comes from knowing we are loved by God, and that as long as we're sensible with what we've been given, he'll look after us. We know when we feel low or unloved, or even unlovable, that we fail to trust and believe in the promises that God has spoken to us and over us through his word, that we are loved and that God does delight in you. And this isn't something that we can simply try better at. This is a fundamental part of our messed up, flawed human nature. It's something that we need help from outside to overcome. So, Ahaz turns from God and turns to the king of Assyria. And things don't go very well for him. We read in 2 Chronicles that when Tiglath-Pileser, the Assyrian king, came to Ahaz, he gave trouble instead of help. Assyria came and they ravaged the land. Isaiah prophesied about this, saying, "The king of Assyria will shave your head and the hair of your legs and your beards also," which was a great sign of humiliation at the time. He says that where there were vineyards worth thousands of pounds, whole industries, instead the land would be covered in briars and thorns, briars and thorns, briars and thorns. The phrase is repeated 3 times in as many verses. Nothing would be left when the king of Assyria comes except briars and thorns, all because Ahaz didn't trust in the Lord. Indeed, Isaiah says to him that if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. And stand he didn't. So through Ahaz and in our own lives, we've seen that things don't go well when we put our trust in our own plans rather than in God's word. So what are we meant to do? How can we have faith where Ahaz was faithless? And the answer lies in our key verse and our theme for today, the verse that we hear every Christmas, but I've not yet touched upon. Tony read it for us before, and it's Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And we read that God does, in fact, give Ahaz a sign, even though he doesn't ask for one. This is what he says. "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. He will eat curds and honey when he knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right. But before the boy knows enough to reject the wrong and choose the right, the land of the two kings you dread will be laid waste." God assured Ahaz that these two kings would be defeated, and therefore Ahaz and Jerusalem would be safe, even though Ahaz hadn't believed in God or asked him for a sign. The child spoken of in these verses, Emmanuel, which means God with us, was very likely a real child. We know this because Isaiah's prophecy came true. The Hebrew word used in this verse for virgin could also be used to mean young woman or even young wife. It was very unlikely that Isaiah actually meant that a virgin would give birth a la the Virgin Mary and Jesus. Most likely, to Isaiah, the prophecy meant that this child to be born would be a firstborn, the firstborn of his mother. And the sign is that he'd be called Emmanuel, God with us. Now, the birth of many other special figures in Israel's history were foretold in a similar way, such as Isaac, Abraham's son, Samson the judge, or Samuel the priest. The implication is that this child would grow up to lead Israel in some way. He's described as eating curds and honey, which at the time were thought of being like the foods of the gods, the equivalent of our juicy fillet steak. When God described the land he would give to the Israelites when he brought them up out of Egypt, He described it as a land flowing with milk and honey. Curds and honey were one of the things brought to King David and his men to eat when they were traveling. And curds were one of the things Abraham gave to the angels who visited him. That this child would eat curds and honey shows that he was to be special, maybe even the son of the king. And that Isaiah says, the virgin will give birth rather than a virgin, suggesting the mother could be a specific person known to both Ahaz and Isaiah, makes this seem even more likely. But this child, this Emmanuel, is just one fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. The apostle Matthew saw another, greater fulfillment of it in Jesus. Jesus was actually born of a virgin. We sing about it every Christmas. We're told that he was conceived by the Holy Spirit rather than by Mary's husband, Joseph, and that he was and is fully God. He is the ultimate Emmanuel, God with us, God given to us. You see, the earthly child that Isaiah was speaking of, potentially an earthly king, was born as a sign that Ahaz's physical problem, that of the kings of Aram in Israel, would be solved by God. But Jesus came as a heavenly child and a heavenly king to solve a problem infinitely greater than that of a few pesky pretender kings. He came to solve the problem of sin and death. He was born to vanquish our spiritual enemies. But how does this deal with our trust issue? Well, God sent the sign of Emmanuel to Ahaz, even though he never asked for one, even though he'd turned his back on God and already decided to go and grovel to the king of Assyria. But still, God assured Ahaz that those two kings would be defeated, and therefore Ahaz and Jerusalem would be safe, even though he'd not believed in God or asked for a sign. This is what God does. This is how he works. He doesn't ask us to believe in him and then he does his bit. Instead, he works for our good, even when we don't trust in him, even before we've put our faith in him. And this is exactly what God has done for us through Jesus as well. Jesus was prophesied about by Isaiah and others hundreds of years before he was born. Even through humanity's rejection and our rebellion of God, God had a master plan for how he would save us and how he would open up a route to relationship with him through Jesus. Paul writes to the church in Ephesus that now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Jesus came to us who were far away from him and died on the cross to save us before we even knew him. Paul says that while we were still God's enemies, Christ died for us. You see, we can trust in God because he's already given everything to us in Jesus, given us full and eternal life, given us freedom for our sins and a hope for the future if we simply choose to believe in him. But there's one other crucial difference between the heavenly Emmanuel and the earthly Emmanuel. Even though Isaiah's prophecy came true, because of his unbelief, Ahaz and Judah were disciplined by God by using the hired razor of the king of Assyria. The land was desolated and humiliated and covered or crowned in thorns. But in Jesus, in our heavenly Emmanuel, our own desolation and pain and humiliation has already been paid for. On his way to the cross, Jesus was humiliated and spat upon, forced to wear a purple robe like a king while the soldiers mocked and jeered him. And he was given a fake crown to wear, a crown of thorns. The thorns, like the thorns that covered Ahaz's land, the thorns that were rightfully ours, have been taken up by Jesus instead. All our unfaithfulness and mistrust and selfishness have already been paid for through his suffering in our place. Through Jesus, God has shown us that he is faithful even when we are not. And Jesus shows us the ultimate example of trust. On his way to the cross, Jesus trusted completely that God's plan would work. He trusted that he wouldn't die in vain, but that his death would be the end of death itself. He trusted that he would be raised again by the Holy Spirit to sit at God's right hand. Fully man as well as fully God, he put his trust in his heavenly Father so that we could know, love, and trust him as our own Father for ourselves. Through Jesus, we see that God was and is faithful even when we're faithless, even when we are far away from him. Only when we see what God has done before we put before we knew him, before we've put our trust in him, can we put our faith and trust fully in him and in his word today. Only through seeing the trust that Jesus put in God for our own sake can we begin to follow his example of trusting in God even when it's difficult. And only when we see the crown of thorns which Jesus wore as a punishment for our own faithlessness can we fully trust in his love and his care for us. Jesus is our great Emmanuel. He is God with us, who promised to his disciples, "Surely I am always with you to the very end of the age." Ahaz's earthly Emmanuel died. But Jesus still lives now and is still with us, even here in this room. When you hear of a child born of a virgin this Advent, think of who that child grew up to be and what he did out of love for you. God has the antidote to our selfishness and faithless human nature. And that antidote is his love and faithfulness made known and made real to us through his Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you planned to send Jesus before we even knew you. Lord, I thank you that he is God with us. He is our Emmanuel, sent that we might have life, that we might be able to trust you and put our faith in you. Lord, remind us of that today, I pray. Show us what that means. Show us that we have no punishment to bear because he bore that in our place. And Lord, I pray that you would use that knowledge to change our hearts and change the way we live. That we would live for you and put our trust and faith in you, even when it's tough.